passage is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the word of God.
Good morning. All right. Good to see all of you this morning. If you're visiting us today, welcome. If you're coming back for second or third time, welcome back. We're so glad you're here. I know, in Washington, D.C. region, we have many visitors kind of come and visit us during the summer months. And so if you're here for a season or if you're visiting us for the first time, we're really glad to have you here. I know we'll probably highlight small groups often now moving forward, but I think it's the best way for anyone to find people and find community. So I want you to just be mindful of that and be in prayer about which group you want to join. We do hand out these brochures a week in advance so that you can take it home and think about them. And when Monday comes around next week, you'll be ready to register for one. But we've been going through the book of Galatians this summer, and we'll be using the last two Sundays in August to finish up our sermon series. If you are here, I think it was in April or May when we started the sermon series. We called the sermon series the bookends of the Christian life, if you remember. And a reason why we kind of framed it that way is because I think the book of Galatians gives us two pretty significant anchors for our Christian life. And we kind of need both of these things for us to have a Christian life, a spiritual life that's dynamic and vibrant. On the one hand, we have the gospel. And that's something that Paul, the writer of the book of Galatians, has been hammering at from the very beginning. First three chapters, Paul talks about the true gospel. He does that in two ways. He says, this is how the gospel has impacted my life. He gives us a testimony, personal testimony, and then he moves into theological exposition. He says, this is how the gospel is played out, which was promised from the Old Testament. He unpacks that for us, and we will not do that today. But all that to say, it's significant and important for us to realize and recognize what the gospel is and the implication of believing in that. We talked about how as we trust in life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God sees us as true sons and daughters of God, that we are justified, we're made righteous, not because of anything that we've done, but because of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us. And we can stand on that anchor. We can stand on that foundation, on that rock, securely as we look to God. And that's the one bookend. We need that, and we need to lean on that daily if we are going to recognize who we are before God, and that we can earn God's love, and we cannot earn God's salvation, but it's a gift from God by grace through faith in Christ alone. And that's what Paul kind of talked about in the first three chapters. And then beginning of chapter 4, end of chapter 3, chapter 4, he then talks about how on the other hand, you have the Holy Spirit. One of the results of believing and trusting in the gospel is that God pours out his Spirit into our hearts, Paul says. And in chapter 4, he says, thus we can cry out, Abba, Father, to God in heaven. It gives us assurance, not only objectively, but subjectively, we can experience and know the intimate relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. And that's been sort of Paul's argument and teaching for the first four chapters, he is saying, this is what the gospel is. You need to believe in this. You need to lean on these truths. And then chapters 5 and 6, he then says, okay, now this is how that gets lived out. And Pastor Carl talked about this last Sunday. He says, Paul says, simply how a life that is filled with the Spirit, walking the Spirit, and that's anchored on the gospel, how that looks like is a life that loves others. And let me just read a few verses. So Paul in chapter 5 is talking about, here's how a life looks like if you're walking in the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, right? Paul says, if you're in the Spirit, you're a freed person. Brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then jump down to verse 25. He said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul here says, this is how Christian life looks like. Someone who is anchored in the gospel, who is rooted in the gospel, and who is someone who is walking in the Spirit, in steps with the Spirit. How does that look like? Well, it looks like someone who is radically, sacrificially loving others, carrying someone's burdens, restoring someone gently. I mean, that's how a Christian life looks like. And I think that's tremendously helpful, because sometimes when we think about walking in the Spirit or being in step with the Spirit, we automatically think about something that's supernatural, like receiving a vision or feeling something, an intense emotion. I mean, those things can happen, and they do happen. But here Paul says it's much more practical than that. How does someone who is walking in the Spirit look like? It looks like loving others, serving other people. That's how it looks like. It's also helpful because sometimes in our Christian life, we wait for some kind of feeling to come upon us before we begin to serve or before we begin to love people. We kind of wait. I don't feel God's love. I just kind of need to, you know, we wait. And what happens then is Christian life becomes too passive. We're simply waiting for some kind of feeling or some kind of motivation. Well, Paul here says, no, this is who you are. God loves you immensely. You are justified. You are made right before God because of Christ. You now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Go and love people and serve people. We can be proactive in our Christian faith. I mean, that's what it is. And that's tremendously helpful, I think, that it's not Christian life. A Spirit-filled life is not theoretical, it's not something out there, but it's practical, it's concrete. We could do it here and now. Now, what the verses that I'll talk about today it's helpful, and this is what Paul is getting at. He talks about why this is so important. Why is loving someone important? Why is it important for us to be filled with the Spirit and walk and step with the Spirit, loving people, serving people? Why is that important? And Paul here gives us one main spiritual principle, and then he gives us three exhortations, short exhortations. Okay, so main principle. So if you have your Bibles open, let's reread verse 7 and 8. So Paul's been talking about life in the Spirit, right? Walking in the Spirit. And then he says, let me go start from verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. I was not going to talk about this verse, but this verse basically talks about one way that you can love people is blessing in a Christian community, blessing those who teach God's word. So you could bless me and bless all the pastors, all the staff. That's what it said. Okay, that's all I'm going to say, okay? At Tyson's, I didn't actually go into this verse, but I should be faithful to God's word, and that's what he says here. But we'll go to verse 7. Okay, verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So here is the main spiritual principle. You will reap what you sow. Now Paul is using the most common, one of the common laws of nature from the agricultural world. And he's taking that principle and he says, in the spiritual world, it applies just as the same. What you sow, you reap. And here are two things that, or at least two things that Paul's getting at. One, he's saying, whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Meaning, if you sow apple seeds, you will get apples. If you sow orange seeds, you will get oranges. If you want an apple, you don't plant or sow orange seeds. He's saying, whatever you sow, you will get. Second thing that he says, whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, it will happen. So if you plant something, you don't see what's happening beneath the ground. You don't know what's happening. But it will eventually come out. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul here says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What he's saying is, this is how God has designed our universe. This is how God has designed the laws of nature. And also, this is how God has designed our spiritual life. Whatever you pour yourself into, whatever you invest into, that's what you will get. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This is how our spiritual life operates. So the question, and then Paul says, with that in mind, he says, you can sow in two places. You can either sow into your flesh, or you can sow into your spirit. First thing, sowing into your flesh. What does that look like? Paul already talked about this, but let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Paul is saying these are works of the flesh. If you sow, if you invest your life, your mind, your heart, to these things, it's these things you will reap. And again, Paul says, do not be deceived. This is how it works. A simple way to put it is, sowing in the flesh is living according to your sinful, fleshly desires and ignoring God's truth and God's word. John Stott, who's a pretty well-known Christian author, he put it this way. He says, every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fantasy, or wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company, whose insidious influence we know we cannot resist, every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up and praying, every time we read pornographic literature, every time we take risk which strains our self-control, we are sowing to the flesh. Some Christians sow to the flesh every day and wonder why they do not reap holiness. Holiness is a harvest. Whether we reap it or not depends almost entirely on what and where we sow. And what John Stott is saying is, sometimes we expect spiritual vibrancy, spiritual hunger, spiritual passion, and we forget that that's only a byproduct of what we've been sowing, or where we've been sowing. If you've been sowing to the flesh, you cannot reap these sort of spiritual, dynamic desires and hungers and passions. It just doesn't happen, he says. There was a movie that came out in 2004 called Super Size Me. And that's probably a little old for some of you here, but it was a documentary. And this film followed a man named Morgan Spurlock. He ate at McDonald's 3 times a day for 30 days. 3 times a day for 30 days. Just thinking about that makes me like, I feel like throwing up. McDonald's 3 times a day, 30 days. And after 30 days, he had gained 24 pounds. His cholesterol level spiked up. Fat accumulated in his liver. And he experienced severe mood swings. And it took him over a year to get back to his normal weight. I kind of read that, or I think about that, and it's obviously so obvious that you eat McDonald's for a month, and of course that's what you'll get. And if you want to be healthy, you don't eat at McDonald's for a month, 3 times a day. Common sense. Sometimes I think spiritually, we forget that that's how it works as well. Sometimes we sow, invest in, think about things that are sinful, not of Christ, and we expect a harvest of holiness. That doesn't work that way. Sometimes we think we should be much more dynamic or vibrant in our spiritual life, or our prayer life should be deeper, or when we open the Bible that God should speak to us directly and powerfully all the time, when all along we are sowing in the Spirit that our minds are envious, or there's grudge, or we're filled with self-pity. It doesn't work that way. Paul here says, if you sow in the flesh, you will reap. The result is you will reap corruption. The word corruption, it alludes to a slow decay. And what he's saying is, if you invest in sin, you will experience disintegration. Things will fall apart. If you eat at McDonald's for 30 days, your body will fall apart. If you sow in the flesh, your soul and your heart for God will fall apart. This is spiritual principle. And Paul here says, you cannot get around this. If you want to grow in Christ's likeness, you have to sow into your spirit, in the spirit. So let's talk about what that is. What does it mean to sow in the spirit? But Paul gave us the fruit of the spirit in verse 22. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I think when Paul says sow in the Spirit, I think he's talking about two things in the context of Galatians. I think one, he's saying have faith in Christ, trust in Christ, trust in the gospel, and the outcome is that you will have eternal life. Second that he talked about in this book is sowing in the Spirit is begin to love people, serve people, be kind to people, display gentleness, display help people to be restored. When people are struggling, you go with them, serve with them alongside, you pray for them. You're doing all these things in love and gentleness and patience. I mean, this is sowing in the Spirit. And once you do that, the Paul says the outcome is you will reap eternal life. On one hand, we reap eternal life when we trust in the gospel and Christ. We reap eternal life. The other hand, as we serve people, love people, we will taste the eternal life. It's our eternal life has already begun when we've trusted in Christ. Our eternal life has begun, and it's not, when the Bible says salvation and eternal life, it's not just talking about your life that will last forever. The Bible is talking about also a fullness of life of God that's bestowed upon you as God's people. You will begin to experience the fullness of life of God in you because you have the Spirit in you. And what Paul here is saying is as you love people and serve people, as you come along and pray for people and come along and lift their burdens up, what you will experience to a degree is you begin to experience the fullness of God in your life. One Christian author put it this way. Imagine your family going camping and you're picking blueberries, and the whole family is picking blueberries, and you're gathering blueberries so that when you get home, you'll make a blueberry pie. But along the way, as you pick blueberries, you at times here and there, when your mom's not looking, you throw a few in your mouth to taste it right there, and you go, wow, this is great. What's happening? On the one hand, you're eagerly waiting for the blueberry pie to be baked when you get home, but in other sense, you get to taste it here and now. That's what Paul here is saying. He's saying, as you live out your Christian life, you can begin to experience, to a degree, the fullness of life of God in you. That's what he's saying. That's what you will reap. So Paul, again, gives us a spiritual principle that cannot be changed. He says, don't be deceived. Don't mock God. This is how your spiritual life works. Where you sow is what you will reap. You can sow to your flesh, ignoring God, or you can sow to the Spirit, walking with God. So that's the spiritual principle. Three exhortations or implications. These will be really short. One, Paul here says, let's read verse 9. And he talks about after sowing and reaping, he says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So this is for some of us who are sowing seeds to Spirit. You're serving people. You're helping people. You're serving the church. So yesterday we had our leadership retreat, and that's what we kind of talked about. You know, here are leaders, small group leaders, and ministry team leaders, and deacons, and elders. We said, hey, you guys are serving. This is great. This is what God's called us to do. And what Paul is saying is, if you're sowing to the Spirit, if you're displaying love and patience and kindness, you're praying for people, serving, if you're displaying Jesus to other people, he says, do not give up doing good. Why would he say that? Well, he says that because living in this way, displaying Jesus to other people, can be hard. Right? It's much easier to, after a long day of work, just, I don't know, not that it's wrong all the time, but it's much easier to just relax versus getting on your knees and praying for that person who is hurting. It's sometimes, you know, it's daunting when you think about all the needs that people have, and you want to kind of run away or live in sort of isolation without really engaging with people who might be hurting. But serving, living like this, sowing in the Spirit, it could be hard, it could be tiresome. But Paul here says, do not give up doing good. So if you're here today and you've been serving, whether it's here at church or just serving people around you in different ways, and you've been praying and you've been trying to be a light in your community, Paul here says, do not give up. And he gives us a reason why. For in due time, due season, we will reap if you do not give up. Paul says, this is how God works. What you sow, you will reap. Now, it might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen next year. It might not even happen during your life here on earth. But Paul here says, there's a guarantee. God guarantees that what you sow, what you invest in, you will reap. You'll get it back. God will compensate you. God will remember your smallest deeds that's done out of love and for Him. You know, I always remember, you know, that passage where Jesus said, if you give a cup of water to someone in my name, you'll be blessed, or I'll remember that. I mean, and all the parables that Jesus gave about servants, you know, serving with a small talent. He uses the talent faithfully, and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. God remembers how you live, what you invested in here on earth, will be remembered by God. That's what God here says. So if you're here today and you're serving, you're giving, do not give up, Paul says. I mean, you can rest, obviously, and you could, if you're you could ask people to pray for you, and you could do a lot of different things. But one thing that the Bible says not to do is give up doing good. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing, he says, he goes on and he says, verse 10, so then, as we have opportunity, and I want to kind of pause there. Paul here says an opportunity. There's an opportunity. And the context is there's an opportunity to do good. And, you know, I've kind of talked about that, but I think there's another opportunity. Now, what I want to talk about here is, you know, in Ephesians, Paul says a similar thing. He says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of every opportunity. And then he goes on to talk about, do not get drunk in wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The same sort of thought that Paul here has. And here's an opportunity for you, for some of you. Maybe you are experiencing some sort of disintegration. Things are falling apart in your soul. Maybe you just feel like you're far from God. Maybe even physically, things are not right. Maybe it's you just now are experiencing or reaping what you've sown for many, many, many months. Maybe years. Maybe you're experiencing things here. What Paul here talks about, gradual decay of your soul, of your heart, even your body and your mind. You're experiencing this corruption. If that's you, there's an opportunity. You know, Jesus says, you're welcome. You are welcome to come. And we do this every Sunday. Repent. Let go of your idols, or let go of sin, or let go of this, and turn and trust in faith the gospel. That's an opportunity that's here for you today. If you're sensing that in your soul that things are not right, that things are falling apart, there's an opportunity. Not only to do good, but opportunity to turn to Christ. Third thing, lastly, and with this we'll end. It comes at the very end. It says, let us do good. With every opportunity, let us do good. And then it says, to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. All right, let's just pause here for a second. I don't like that verse particularly, and here's the reason why. Because it's really easy to talk about loving people generally. Like preachers could do that all the time. I could stand here and I could talk about we need to serve people and love people. And truth of the matter is, it's not that difficult to do. We could be inspired by what we see out there in the world. You know, people who are suffering over there, and gosh, they need our help. And maybe you are motivated to pray or give, and which is a great thing. But I think that's perhaps easier to do than what Paul here says. He says, do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the household of faith. I think what Paul is saying is, do good to everyone, especially those who are near you. Not just general love, but concrete, tangible, immediate love right near us. That means for some of us, it's loving your roommate. Maybe it's serving your coworker in some form. Maybe it's approaching your siblings, or your parents, your spouse. I mean, it's the people near you. Maybe it's someone in this church that you need to ask for forgiveness, or you need to come along and side and lift them up. I mean, it's what Paul is calling us to do here is do good to everybody, especially those who are in the household of faith. I say that because I find it much easier to talk about love and encourage people to love than actually do the act of love to my own family. Like loving my kids. Oh, or I shouldn't say, I mean, I love them, but like displaying that patience. Loving my, I love my wife, but forgiving and my spouse or people who are close to you and my parents live with me, you know, and that's another challenge. Oh, man. It's hard. But friends, that's what Paul is calling Christians to do. People who are rooted in the gospel. People who are secure in who they are because of Jesus. Right? And we don't have to try to earn our salvation. We don't have to try to earn God's approval. No, we already have that. We are secure. Our status is set. On the other hand, the Spirit of God has been poured upon our hearts. We can't live like we want to in our sinful nature. No, we are to walk step with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, allowing God's Spirit to lead us and guide us, and that calls us to love people and serve people. And that's what Paul is calling us to do. It's a challenge, but if we do them, we will reap what we sow. We'll reap benefits of walking and living in this way. And I hope that this coming, sort of as we end summer and look forward to the fall and the school semester, that we could be people who are what Paul talked about here, rooted in the gospel and filled with the Spirit, loving people, serving others radically and sacrificially. And let's pray and let's close our time. I want to give us a minute to pray and respond. And maybe I could sort of highlight two things. One, as I said before, there might be some of us here, you sense sort of gradual apathy towards God. You sense a gradual decaying of your spirit and your soul and your heart. And, you know, and that's there because you might be sowing to your flesh rather than spirit. And maybe this afternoon is an opportunity for you to turn away from that and turn to Christ. Others of us might be here and you're serving and you are trying to serve others and love people. And we are so thankful for you and just your heart to do that. But you might be tired. You know, Paul here says, do not give up. Because you will eventually reap what you sow. That's a promise from God. And that might not happen tomorrow. And that's the hard part about sowing, right? You sow and there's a big delay in what comes out of the seed that you plant. But Paul here says, do not give up. Do not give up praying. Do not give up sharing your faith. Do not give up approaching that person. Do not give up. And so I want to encourage you that you find your strength today in Christ. So can I give us a minute to kind of respond in that way? And then afterwards,